All right. Well, the title of my message this morning is You Can't Take It With You. And I know when people think that, they think you're talking about your money when you die, and that's not what we're talking about today. What I want to do today is I want to continue our look into following after Jesus Christ with our lives, not just with our words. I want to look at and make it very easy for you to understand. And so we're going to go through part of this. The last part of this, I'm going to give you some illustrations to help you to be able to grab hold of it. And that's my whole goal is when I preach the word, I want you to understand it, but I want you to know how you can use it, how you can apply it to your life. And so talking about following after Jesus, it requires more than just saying the right words. It requires more than just saying a prayer. And what it does is it requires belief and believing, and it requires action. So we're going to look at John 3:16, which is considered the golden text. It's, you know, we're going to look at it in the New Living Translation. So it may look a little bit different with you today. But look with me at John 3:16 here. It says, "For this is how God loved the world. He gave His one and only Son, so that everyone who believes in Him will not perish, but have eternal life." Now, everybody knows this scripture. You see it on the signs at football games and everything else, but I feel like it's missed a little bit. And I want to explain this scripture to you a little bit better, because if you just took it for how you read it in English, it kind of comes up a little bit short here. When you look at it in the King James, it's believeth is the word, whosoever believeth. But the word believe or believeth, in the original text, what that word means, we think of believe as, you know, a mental thing, I believe in that. But the original text of what it means to trust or to comply, trust and comply. It's kind of a combination of two things. And so what it's saying is that salvation comes to those who trust in Jesus and comply or obey His commands. It's more than just about a mental thing. It's more than just saying some words. It's telling you that salvation requires belief and obedience, and that the two of these cannot be separated. And so, what I spent a lot of years traveling as a coordinator of Are You 100% Sure Ministry, teaching evangelism, leading people to the Lord. And I tell you, the more and more I study this, the more I feel like I really came up short. You know, our goal was to make it as easy as possible for people to get into heaven. And I believe we presented the belief part, but we didn't really present the action part. And it requires more. Salvation is not just saying a sinner's prayer. And I said, "Whoa, what are you talking about?" It requires more than that. And I'm just going to share with you scriptures here. We're looking at John 3. We just read 3:16. We're going to drop down to verse 36. It says, "And anyone who believes in God's Son has eternal life." He said, there it is, belief. But look. "Anyone who doesn't obey the Son will never experience eternal life, but remains under God's angry judgment." So this scripture here is telling us that, yes, we got to believe it. We have to have action to it. We got to believe in God's Son, but we have to obey God's Son. You know, it makes it very clear that salvation requires a life change. It requires what we talked about last week, repentance. It's more than just a confession your sins. It's turning from them. It's laying down your life, laying down your old things, nailing it to the cross, as one scripture said. It's following Jesus in faith and in actions. And it's very important, and it's not something I think that most churches will, that they preach today. They kind of make it, they're kind of like I was. You want to make it easy. It's not hard. Let me tell you something, laying down your life is not hard, but people need to understand that it's something that God expects. And people do not want to hear that change is necessary. I mean, who wouldn't want to hear in the life that you're living, "Hey, if you'll just say that you believe in Jesus and you'll confess to Him that you sin and ask me, Lord, of your life, you can go to heaven. No change or anything, but if you'll just believe it and say it, then you can go to heaven." And so people don't like to hear that. And when you teach the biblical truth, people then say, "Well, now you're trying to say salvation is by works." And that's not what I'm saying at all in this. I'm saying that the biblical truth is this, is that salvation is for those who believe and obey Christ. It's just what Jesus says. If you say that you believe, then if you say that you believe but you don't obey, then you're missing it. But I'm going to tell you, you can't obey if you don't believe. You just would have no reason to do it. So if you say you believe but you're not going to obey, then your faith is not any different than, say, the demons. The Bible says that the demons in hell believe in Jesus. They believe in it, but their belief is not a salvation belief. There's not an action to it. I want you to look at Hebrews chapter 5 with me. And we're not going to stay on this a long time, but I'm trying to lay a groundwork here for you. It says, even though Jesus was God's son, he learned obedience from the things he suffered. In this way, God qualified him as a perfect high priest. Now look at this. And he became the source of eternal salvation for all those who obey him. Now, I'm giving you the scriptures to help you understand. It's not just enough to believe in Jesus Christ. This word of God is very clear. You not only do you have to believe, but you have to obey him. You've got to believe, or you would have no reason to obey. And with the true belief, there comes a surrendered life of obedience to him. Your life has to look different than it did before you accepted Jesus Christ. Because if there's not any real life change, there's not any real commitment that has been made. And it goes back to the scripture that says faith without works is dead. Faith without works is dead. It means, you can say you have faith, but without works I don't see it. But if you say you have faith, I'm going to see it by your actions. So as a Christian, your light will shine in the world, not because you confess to be a Christian, but because of the actions, because of the belief, because of the life change. People begin to see this thing. So what I want to do is I want to look at three different examples of encounters that Jesus had. We're going to look first of all at the encounter that Jesus had with the rich young ruler found in Mark chapter 10. At least that's the part that we're going to look at. So read with me on this here. It says, as Jesus was starting out on his way to Jerusalem, a man came running up to him, knelt down and asked, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "Why do you call me good?" Jesus asked. "Only God is truly good. But to answer your question, you know the commandments. You must not murder. You must not commit adultery. You must not steal. You must not testify falsely. You must not cheat anyone. Honor your father and mother." Verse 20. "Teacher," the man replied, "I've obeyed all these commandments," "since I was young." Looking at the man, Jesus felt genuine love for him. He said, "There's still one thing you haven't done," he told him. "Go and sell all your possessions and give the money to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me." And at this, the man's face fell, and he went away sad, for he had many possessions. Here we see a man who wanted to go to heaven. He wanted to do right. And if you look at it, he really lived, all in all, he lived a pretty good life. He lived a good life. He has submitted his life to God in every area except for one thing. He loved his money more than he loved God. And verse 21 there said that Jesus felt a genuine love for him. And he instructed him in the one thing lacking. The man said, "How do I get to heaven? How do I have eternal life? I've done all these things. You've done it. You're great, everything but one thing." And when the man heard this, it says that his face fell sad, that he went away defeated, because he could not give up that one thing. Think how sad for him, that it was for him. It makes me wonder that after this point, how much enjoyment did he really have in his possessions? After hearing this and what it was costing, how much could he really enjoy the money that he made and the money that he had? And hopefully he came around. I would believe that as much as he seemed to love God, that as he probably struggled a little bit and didn't get this peace, I'm hoping that one day he came around, that he did as Christ instructed him, and that he did end up making heaven. But it's sad if not that he would miss heaven because of one thing. And my statement to you is, don't let that one thing that you love today cause you to be kept from heaven. Let's look at another story because I want to go through this quickly. Look at John chapter 8. John chapter 8, we're talking about the woman that was caught in adultery here. It says, Jesus returned to the Mount of Olives, but early the next morning he was back again at the temple. A crowd soon gathered, and he sat down and he taught them. And as he was speaking, the teachers of religious law and the Pharisees brought a woman who had been caught in the act of adultery. They put her in front of the crowd. "Teacher," they said to Jesus, "this woman was caught in the act of adultery. The law of Moses says to stone her. What do you say?" They were trying to trap him into saying something they could use against him, but Jesus stooped down and wrote in the dust with his finger. They kept demanding an answer, so he stood up again and said, "All right, but let the one who has never sinned throw the first stone." Then he stooped down again and he wrote in the dust. And when the accusers heard this, they slipped away one by one, beginning with the oldest, until only Jesus was left in the middle of the crowd with the woman. Then Jesus stood up and he said to the woman, "Where are your accusers? Didn't even one of them condemn you?" "No, Lord," she said. And Jesus said, "Neither do I. Go and sin no more." Now, this is a very well-known story. Y'all know this story. This is about a woman who was caught red-handed in her adultery. There is not any doubt that she was a sinner. There's not any doubt that she was guilty of this. And you can go through the story because this has a lot. It has a lot of really good teaching in this. But today I want to focus just on the one issue, is that, listen, she was a sinner. She was caught. She, according to the law of Moses, she deserved to die. But Jesus, looking at her, he showed her mercy and he offered her a new beginning. But it required, when you look at this all the way through, it required a life change. She couldn't just thank him and say she believed in him and go off and everything was okay. You see, her key to eternal life was her laying down her life. Jesus didn't just offer her grace and mercy and say, "Continue on in what you've been doing." It was, "Listen, I'm not condemning you either, but here's the deal. I'm going to forgive you, but you got to quit. Go and sin no more." There was a choice to be made. It doesn't tell us in the Bible what her choice was, but we all assume that she complied. We all believe that she changed. And, you know, each of us in our life, we're given the same new opportunity. We're all given a chance for a brand new beginning. I know I was, and I'm thrilled about that. And the question is, you know, when I came to the Lord at 23 and I surrendered my life, I did exactly that. I didn't sit there and say a sinner's prayer. For so long, I didn't come to God because I knew that it required a life change. I knew that it wasn't just because I believed in Jesus all my life. I was so thankful he died on the cross for me. I knew that he was the way. I didn't want to go to hell, but I knew that I was living in sin. And I was not ready to commit to a life change. And so I didn't yield to him. I didn't surrender my life to him. I didn't come to him because I knew that all I could do was say the prayer, but I couldn't give the life. I would have the belief, but not the obedience. But at the age of 23, when I gave my life to the Lord, I understood what I was doing. I was telling God of my sins. I was telling him how sorry he was. I was telling him how much that I believed in him. And I was telling him, "I don't want that anymore. I want to turn from that. I want the life that you want for me. I wanted something different." And that's the same thing today. You know, you have to ask is, will you lay down your life? Will you comply and will you experience true salvation? It's your choice. Let's look at one more story in Luke chapter 19. Every little kid in children's church loves the story of Zacchaeus. Jesus entered Jericho and made his way through the town. There was a man there named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector in the region and had become very rich. He tried to get a look at Jesus, but he was too short to see over the crowd. So he ran ahead and he climbed a sycamore fig tree beside the road, for Jesus was going to pass that way. I think it's funny because of this whole story. The whole reason why he's so popular isn't because he ends up giving his life to the Lord. It's because he is so short. That's why everybody remembers him. And you make up all the little children's songs about him and stuff. Look at verse 5. When Jesus came by, he looked up at Zacchaeus and he called him by name. He said, "Zacchaeus," he said, "quick, come down. I must be a guest in your home today." And Zacchaeus quickly climbed down and he took Jesus to his house in great excitement and joy. Man, when you go home today, take Jesus with you with great excitement and joy. But the people were displeased. "He has gone to be a guest of a notorious sinner," they grumbled. Meanwhile, Zacchaeus stood before the Lord and said, "I will give half my wealth to the poor, Lord. And if I've cheated people on their taxes, I will give them back four times as much." And Jesus responded, "Salvation has come to this home today, for this man has shown himself to be a true son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and save those who are lost." Zacchaeus was a sinner. He was a sinner for sure. But he had this encounter with Jesus that changed his life. He believed in Jesus. He had, now, no telling what all they talked about at dinner, you know, as they came and he ate and visited with Jesus. But for one thing for sure happened, that as he came, and he already knew of Jesus, or he wouldn't have climbed the tree. But as he sat there and he had this encounter with Jesus, he knew that a life change was necessary. He didn't just want to say, "Okay, I believe in you, man. I'm the guy that had Jesus over for lunch and everybody's going to look at me and stuff." No, he knew that after this encounter, that he could not remain the person that he was. And he gladly gave half of his money away And then he gladly committed to not to only repent, but to restore those who he had cheated and to do the right things here. And so in these stories, we see three different individuals. We see one that we know went away sad, given the option they couldn't let go of the one thing. We went to see the other one who was doomed to be killed. But because of mercy, God gave her a brand new day with a new opportunity and instructions to go and sin no more. And then we see this last individual, Zacchaeus, and we see that he didn't try to stay the same way. You see, if you're going to follow after Jesus, you can't stay the same way. Not if you're going to follow him in obedience. It's impossible to do that and still for them to be saved. What would you think of Zacchaeus if he stayed the same? If he continued to do what he did, but he confessed to be a Christian, confessed to love Jesus, but he stayed the same. I mean, you'd have to really think, well, you're not changed. You're not saved. There's nothing happened. Well, why do we think that we can confess to be a Christian, but we still keep all those things in our life that we had before we met Christ and still think we're okay? It just doesn't work that way. Let's go back to Galatians 5. It's a scripture we read last week. I want to read it again this week. Looking at verse 16. So I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. I hope you've been working on that this week. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. You see, the sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. And the Spirit gives us desires. Remember, more than just rules and regulations, the Spirit gives us desires, things we want to do, that are opposite of what the sinful nature desires. These two forces are constantly fighting each other, so you're not free to carry out your good intentions. But when you are directed by the Spirit, you're not under obligation of the law of Moses. When you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are very clear. Sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, adultery, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outburst of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other sins like these. Let me tell you again, remember, this is to the church. Let me tell you again, as I have before, that anyone living that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. So we see from the scriptures we talked about last week that the Holy Spirit wants to lead us all the time. He wants to lead us in all things, that the Holy Spirit will guide us if we allow Him to. But when we do not surrender our lives to God, when we don't surrender our lives to the leading of the Holy Spirit, when we don't surrender our lives to what the Word of God says, it says then that we're going to fall into the desires of the flesh. We're going to fall into these things that's going to cause us to sin. We're going to lie. We're going to sin sexually. We're going to have anger issues. We're going to have selfish ambitions. We're going to be envious. We're going to be lustful and on and on and on with different things that's going to take place, so forth, to the point that we're not going to be saved. We're not going to go to heaven. We're going to miss out because we refuse to obey and believe. So my hope today is that first thing I can get you to understand this is that salvation requires more than just saying the right words, but it requires obedience. And I'm going to help you today. I want to help you understand this a little bit with an object lesson that hopefully will help you to kind of grab hold of it. So first of all, to come to Christ, we must repent and we have to turn from our evil ways. We have to turn from our sinful life, from our disobedience. So we're going to take sexual sin. We're going to take sexual sin this morning as an example. It could be adultery. It could be lust. It could be homosexuality. It could be any numbers of things. And as an example, we're going to say that each of you have at least one of those sins in your life when you are being introduced to Jesus Christ. Now, some people, what they do is they pray the prayer. They pray a prayer, the sinner's prayer. They confess a belief. They confess that they've sinned. They ask Jesus into their hearts. But they do not repent and turn from their sins. They want to carry them with them. You know? They want to walk around with it. They want it to be involved in their life. They confess that they're a Christian and they go to church. But just like that rich young ruler, there's one thing in their life they're unwilling to give up. They still have this one area that they have not turned over to God. And they believe they're okay. And this is in churches all over, Christians all over. They believe they're okay even with the sin in their life, because the grace and mercy of God is preached to such a degree that there's no action on our part required. We just got to confess that Jesus is Lord and we're saved. But we've already saw that said that Jesus came to offer eternal security to all those who would obey. So I want to help you understand this. I want to help you understand, what is it in your life that you have that you might need to repent of? What is it in your life? Because, you know, there's so many things out there that and so many different beliefs that you get from churches rather than listening to the Word of God, that you don't know what your real thing is that you got to let go of. And so I'm going to help you today kind of understand this for this, because it's basically this way. If you can't ask Jesus to carry it for you, if you can't ask Jesus to bless it, then you got to leave it. Can you imagine? Jesus, would you please help me? Would you please help me to lust more? Man, would you help me in my adultery that I could have more of it? Man, would you just bless this, cause it to multiply? Can you imagine? Can you carry that? I mean, it's not just that. It's anger and unforgiveness. It's addictions. It's greed. It's lies. It's so much more than this. But these things that Christians all over, that they carry with them and they practice in their life and everything, and they think it's okay. Remember, the Word of God says that we must believe. It means that we must trust and comply. It says that all that believe will go to heaven, and all those who do not obey Christ will not. And we know what the Word of God says about things. But the best way I can teach you how to understand is we've got to look at what it is that you have in your life. What is it that you have need of, that you need to confess to God? What is it that you need to that you can't ask Him to bless? And there's, man, we couldn't even do a list. It'd be a stack to the ceiling of these things. But of these here, could I ask God to bless my lies? Could I, Lord, I tell you what, Lord, I got greed. Can you give me more of it? I mean, you're come up here with the, you know, Lord, I got this addiction. Sure would like another one, God. You know, is that how we do it? Lord, I've got anger and unforgiveness in me, God. And boy, I just pray right now that you just give me more bitterness. It's not something you can ask God. So listen to me. If God can't bless it, you've got to get rid of it. Does that make sense? Is that easy enough to understand? You got to get rid of it. You got to just do away with it. And what you need to do is this: is you got to confess that you've sinned. You got to repent and you turn from them. When you come to Jesus, you don't hide them. Hey, Jesus, you can't hide it. You come to Him, and say, Lord, you know what? And I got lies and greed and addiction and unforgiveness and Lord, things that what I want to do is I want to give them to you. Lord, not that you'll bless them, but God, I pray that you would destroy that hold that they have on my life. And you walk away from them. You don't pick them back up again. You nail them to the cross. And not just, listen, you can't just let 4 out of 5. They got to all be. If you can't pray for God to bless it, you've got to leave it. You got to leave it. You got to nail it to the cross. Look at John 3:16 one more time. As for this is how God loved the world, He gave His one and only Son, so that everyone who believes in Him, remember, believes means to trust and comply. Everyone who will trust and comply with His word will not perish, will have everlasting life. If you will only believe and obey, then you're going to be saved. So this morning I want you to think, what is it you need to leave with Jesus? What is it today that you have that you cannot ask Him to bless or to carry, you know, for you? And I'm going to tell you something. As you come to Christ, it's more than just about leaving sins. It's more than just carrying those type of things to God. See, we carry our sins and we carry those things to God. But listen, when you come to God, you're broken. And you got relationship issues. You got illnesses. You got hurts. You got financial stress. You got things that you need to come to Him for. And let me tell you something. All of these things, you can ask God to help you with. All of these things you can ask Him to bless you with. All of these things you can ask Him to make you strong in. I mean, listen, God will help take the load off of you. You ask for relationship help, and He's gonna give you wisdom. If you know our proverb, my proverb for the year, I thought I was going to get in here, Proverbs 16:3, commit your actions to the Lord, your plans will succeed, or your life will be successful. Man, commit that relationship to the Lord. Tell God, here's my problems, here's my struggles, here's what I need. Lord, what can I do to make it better? What can I do to be more pleasing to you? Father, here's my illness. Listen, if you'll ask for a relationship, he'll help you. You got an illness and you just stand on the word for what God says about illness, what he says about healing. He'll take your illness and he'll give you health. He'll take your hurts and he'll heal that body. He'll heal that brokenness. Take your finances. God will give you good stewardship, wisdom, and blessing and prosperity to handle it in your life. And he'll help you with these things. So everything in your life needs to be carried before God. Some things you're going to leave, and other things God's going to carry that load for you. They're still yours, but God's going to bless you. He's going to begin to take care of those. He's going to give you clear instructions on how to handle these things. Every one of finances, hurts, illness, relationships, you can even go to lies, greed, addictions, anger, and sexual sin. Every one of those, God gives us the instructions on how to deal with them. All you got to do is search his word, search his instructions, and look for his promises. The question for you today is this: can you do more? Can you do more than just believe? Can you obey? And can you trust him with everything that you have? I want you just to bow your heads. I think this is a really simple illustration. Man, don't worry about anybody else in this place right now. This is between you and God and me right now. Man, how many of you, you got some sins, you got some things, you got some practices that you know you can't ask God to bless? You know you need to leave with them. You need to repent of them. You need to ask God to destroy that in your life, that stronghold in your life. You need to walk away from them. How many of you got some of that? Raise your hand, put it right back down. Yes. And we all do. We all do. And listen, it's normal to want to go pick it back up again. It's that flesh. You want to go pick it back up again. And I'm talking to you today about a lifestyle of practice of doing a sin. I'm not talking about that you stumble and you sin one day. I'm talking about a lifestyle practice of doing it. We're all going to sin and we're all going to stumble. We're going to feel convicted and we're going to put it right back down again and we're going to walk away from it and repent again and ask for forgiveness. That doesn't cost you your salvation. That's not what I'm saying at all. I'm talking about those who don't want to fully surrender their life. If you're here today, and you just be honest, that you knew that when you walked in the door today, that if you really examined your life, man, Jesus really isn't the Lord of your life today. He wasn't when you came in here. He really is not the authority of all your life. You haven't surrendered everything to him. But today, what you'd like to do, you'd be like that woman caught in adultery, that you'd like that grace and mercy this morning. Yes, you're a sinner, but you'd like to say this morning, Jesus, man, I am so sorry for my life that I've lived. I'm so sorry for the sins that I've committed. Lord, I not only want to believe in you, but I want you to forgive me of my sins, and I want to give those to you, and I want to turn from them. I want to live a life pleasing to you. If that's you today, raise your hand and put it back down. Yes. So let's pray this right now. You can pray it out loud or you can pray it under your breath. It doesn't matter, but I want you to pray this. And I want you to mean it. Because what you are doing right now at this moment, you're surrendering your life to Christ and you're accepting him as the Lord of your life. So we would just say right now, dear Jesus, and I confess that I'm a sinner. I know that I make mistakes. Lord, I know that I've made promises before. But today's a brand new day. Today, Lord, I choose to believe in you. Today, Lord, I choose all this ugliness that you see to nail it to the cross. Lord, I repent of it. I turn from it. I ask you to help release me from this hold. Lord, let me be a follower that believes and complies. Let me trust and obey. And Father, if I can't ask you to bless it, then I'm not going to keep it. I thank you in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Listen, you say, well, that's simple. It's very simple. It's not hard, and it's no different than other churches do, except for I'm just telling you, you can't say a prayer and say a belief and not change your life. So I'm going to encourage you just to really begin to look at your life for a couple things. One, you got to really look at things you know that you need to. If you're unsure, I don't know whether I should turn away from it or not, well, just ask again, God, can I pray that you'd bless it? Can I ask you to come, Jesus, and do it with me? You know, if he can't come and do it with you, that's probably not going to be something you need to be doing at all. And then you need to be honest, Lord, this is something that I've done for a long, long time. And Lord, I really do want to repent of it and turn from it, God, but I know it's an addiction. It's something I have, and I need help with it. And you just got to be honest with him. It's okay. You just begin to pray, and you begin to obey that God in prayer, and you ask him to remove that desire, and you ask him to give you strength in it, and he'll do so. But listen, for those of you that said that prayer today to receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, let me congratulate you. It's the very best thing, man, that you could ever do. It's a great day for you. It's a great start to 2016. Let me tell you, if you meant that prayer, there's three things you're going to do. There's four things you're going to do. Number one, you're really going to look at your life for what you need to continue to turn over to God and make sure you don't pick it back up. But if you really meant that prayer, you need to begin to pray every day. Praying is just you talking to God. Just talk to him like I'm talking to you. Just say, Jesus, man, here's what's going on. Here's what I'm struggling with. Here's what I need help with, God. And just be thankful and all that. Second, you need to be reading the Word of God. You need to get the Bible out and begin to read it. Begin to search for things and find the things that you're having the problems with and look it up in the Bible. Begin to look it up. And if you got a computer, Google it, for it'll give you scriptures. Google scriptures on it. Begin to see what God says about it. So you need to begin to pray. You need to begin to read your Bible. And number three, you need to plug into a local church. So if you're a visitor today and you raise your hand and pray, man, listen, you don't have another church, evidently. Come here for a while. We could use you and we'll help you. We're just family here and we're just going to do what we can to see that all of us make it to heaven and we enjoy the life that we live while we're here on earth as well. All right. If you need any special prayer, I'll be happy to pray with you. Otherwise, I'm going to dismiss. We can clean up.